Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 other disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter first, say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his pay. Do not move about from house to house, one to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what they set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the letters to Timothy and Titus, we see Paul shaping and instructing his most reliable followers in the ways of the gospel. And while we learn a bit about Timothy and Titus, we learn a great deal about Paul himself and the church that is taking shape as a result of his efforts. My reflections on these experiences connect me again with a most unexpected part of my life. When I went to Kenya as a missionary in the early 90s, you go with a sort of attitude, it's a pretty unstructured situation, the Dominicans are just trying to get things started here, so I'll just fit in and do whatever seems necessary and help along the way. So I was only a little bit surprised when my superior said, "We need you in Kisumu." That's by Lake Victoria out in western Kenya. "And by the way, you'll be novice master." Then 6 years later, "We need you to work with the students in Nairobi." And then again, "We need you to cover the parish we're developing," and so on. But in all of these situations, I had the privilege of working with highly motivated young men who were interested in preaching and becoming Dominicans. It turned out to be a real blessing for me as I worked with these young men, as they discovered their place in religious life, or as it happened in several cases, moving on to actively serve the church as really dedicated laypersons. The delight was in discovering of the best of the abilities of the students and to watch these unfold and mature. Often you'd be quite surprised. One such person was Martin, who I worked with as a student, and then he was my associate pastor in the parish we were developing. In all of this, Martin became a good friend. He had been a seminarian in a diocese when Father Bert Eben, the real founder of the Dominican effort in Kenya, was visiting the seminary and gave a sermon. Martin was just struck by the experience and said, "I want to do that also." And so he transferred to the Dominicans. Martin is a delight to know, a free spirit with a great sense of humor. He always has also had a real gift of preaching. In Kenya, a free and spontaneous manner of expression is highly appreciated. People tend not to write or overly structure their homilies. This can be wonderful when everything clicks. Martin really has this gift of expression and can enliven a homily and really meet any occasion. On the other hand, I must admit that I spent far too many times in Kenya listening to a preacher wandering on in search of a topic. Even bishops, this was not a happy situation. But when someone is spontaneous and blessed with a focused and introduction and wonderful content, things can happen, and you're in the presence of the living Word. When such preaching is connected with the joyful spirit of music and reverential dancing that characterize the Kenyan liturgical customs, one has the experience of the gospel coming to life in new and marvelous ways. But preaching is so much more than a good talk or an agreeable style. It has to do with attempting to shape the life of the heart and the spirit, and so touch the hunger or the beautiful richness of another human being just at that point where they're most alive. What an exciting thing it is to hear and speak and really be part of a really fine homily or sermon, to be touched and brought to life at the very center of your soul. And then in our Catholic tradition, there's so much more that follows. After an agreeable exchange of speaking and listening, the sharing of the life of the heart, we're able to take this experience into the living remembrance of God's living word as it is enacted in the sacrifice of the Mass and the communion of God's faithful people. When you feel that you've really spoken and have been heard, and you look out at the variety and beauty of God's holy people, when after preaching, you also hear the living response in your brothers and sisters, and even amid the brokenness and need, see the remarkable beauty of their need and their appetite for the divine reaching beyond any sort of boundaries or brokenness. What beauty there is in such a sublime hunger. And then, in the moment of the Mass where we repeat the very words in which Jesus unites his life with our own, together we enter into the very life of the Father. In this sense, a successful moment of preaching discovers a dialogue that allows the speaker and listener to enter into the full experience of God the Father and his love for each one of us. As the bread and wine is offered, touched by the words of fond recognition for all of us by the God of all life, "This is my body, this is my blood," and then received by God's beloved people, we are welcome into a direct experience and union with the very life of God. And so sharing the Word of God in the context of the Mass, the Eucharist, brings this effort of preaching to a remarkable fulfillment. Sometimes at the end of Mass, when you're greeting people at the church door, someone will say, "Thank you, that was a good sermon." And while this is nice, it's not what you're really looking for or really are about. What you hope for is that the person has heard the gospel and been helped by your remarks, but then move well beyond the successful dialogue into a living union with the Lord of all things. Not the preacher's words, but the questions and words of response that well up in the mind of the person who is listening and now filled with the word of life, their own word, come to life through God's gracious kindness. Their questions, hunger, fundamental humanity are stimulated into the language of prayer. And this holy longing is united with God's own being at the very center of all life. What a privilege it is to be an active participant in this journey of a soul toward union with the divine being, the very center of all life and love. The kingdom of God is at hand for you. Could I ever say anything more beautiful to you? And we pray and hope that we who contribute small words to that larger dialogue that is taking place between God and the individual who is generous enough to listen to our words is now fully realized in the joyful recognition of being touched by the living God. Drawn as a joyful participant into the beauty and glory that are at the center of all of life, what a blessing that is. We should never forget that such a possibility is present as we fashion our conversations about the living God. May God bless you and your experience and fill it with life in just this way.